Empower Radio presents The Miracle of Healing with Lisa Campion. Meet healers, learn different modalities, and hear empowering stories of people on their healing journey. The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Lisa Campion.
There, I'm Lisa Campion, and this is The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio, where conscious people come together to explore the world of healing and heal the planet, one person at a time. My guest today is Edie Weinstein, who is going to talk to us today about the healing power of cuddling. Did I just say cuddling? Oh, yes, I did. Besides being a certified cuddle party facilitator, Edie, also known as the Bliss Mistress, is a colorful, creative journalist, a dynamic, motivational speaker, and an interfaith minister, as well as being a licensed social worker and the author of The Bliss Mistress Guide to Transforming the Ordinary into the Extraordinary. She estimates that she has cuddled thousands of people since she has facilitated at least 200 cuddle parties. Okay, let's talk about this cuddling thing. First of all, we just all have a human need for touch that sadly gets unmet in a lot of people. We all know about the healing power of touch, and yet many of us are touch starved. Some of us never get touched by another person at all. Or maybe you never get touched in a nurturing, healing, non-sexual way. So the only touch you ever get is sexual touching, which of course is fine, and we have a deep need for that too. But think about how you got snuggled, held, and cuddled the way you did when you were a child. When was the last time that happened? Perhaps it never happened, even when you were a child, which is really sad. No matter where you fall in the cuddle spectrum, we all have this bone-deep need for healing, nurturing, and loving touch. I recently read a study about what happens when you get a nice long hug. The hug has to last at least a minute, but if you get that, your brain will release all kinds of happy little neurotransmitters like oxytocin, the love neurotransmitter. Our brains and nervous systems and our psyches and our hearts and our skin crave this kind of loving touch. The same article went on to say that research has shown that opiate addicts go for opiates to fill that same unmet love and touch need. Heroin gives you the same love feeling since it hits the oxytocin receptors and makes you feel loved. So we all need nurturing, love, safe touch, and cuddles. And how are we supposed to get that kind of touch in our strangely disconnected modern lives? What do you do if you're not in a relationship? Or even if you are in a relationship, I know plenty of people who rush through the sex part just to get to the cuddle part. Where does a girl gotta go to get cuddled? That's where cuddle parties come in. And here to tell us all about it is Edie. Welcome, Edie.
Hi, thank you. Boy, did you do your research, baby. That's amazing. Absolutely extraordinary. And you're so right that since our skin is our single largest organ, we have touch hunger. You know, we have, it's just as important to meet as food hunger. Skin hunger is what I've heard it called. Yeah. And as you mentioned, some people didn't get the nurturing touch that they needed as children. For some people, touch was violent, abusive, coerced, sexual, non-existent. We live in a culture in which people live alone. If they're widowed, divorced, single, never been in a relationship, maybe the only person they ever get touch from is their hairdresser. That's why I think a lot of people go to hairdressers, is that they like getting their hair, you know, their hair washed, their hair cut. People go to massage therapists for that reason, chiropractors for that reason. And what Cuddle Party does, and the work that I do, and a lot of people that I know that are in this field do, is have people feel a connection, because relationship is about connection. Cuddle Party got started, just historically, to give people a little background, in 2004. Two relationship coaches, Reed Mihalko and Marsha Baczynski, created this workshop.
I know Reed.
You know Reed? Okay, good. Yeah. That's wonderful.
Yeah, he's a good egg. Yeah.
Oh, he absolutely is. Reed is probably, I mean, if you look at him, you think Norse god. You think high school football champion. But he's one of the nerdiest, geekiest, self-admitted guys that I've ever met. Yep. Really unassuming. And Reed had been a massage therapist, among other things, and he realized that those of us that do hands-on healing work don't often get enough touch ourselves. So he decided to have a party for his massage therapist friends. And then he invited some non-professional friends who said, wait a minute, we don't know how to massage the professionals. We're not coming. And he says, well, change of plans, guys. Come dressed in PJs, sweats, yoga clothes. Bring pillows, blankets, teddy bears, whatever you want. We're going to have a cuddle party. And what he meant by that was, you know, puppy pile, snuggly kind of stuff that some of us did in high school and college. I know I did. And it turned into a workshop. Then he decided to create rules around it because adults need rules. If there were, you know, what I say when I facilitate is if you thought that there were no rules, would you come to an event like this? And everybody says, of course not. So by the second one, his friend Marcia came. And by the third one, they had media coverage. They had the press wanting to be there. Wow. So this started in 2004. I heard about it in 2005, went to a workshop in New York City when they were still on the East Coast. They're both now in California. And by the time I left, I knew two things. One is that I wanted to bring Cuddle Party to Philadelphia. That's the area where I live. So Reed came out twice that summer. And the other was that I wanted to be a certified facilitator. So there are a lot of, you know, people that call what they do cuddle parties, but this is an actual trademark name. And in order to call it a cuddle party, you have to be certified through their training. So I was number 27, and there's something like 120, 130 people worldwide. And if people want to look it up, they just go to cuddleparty.com.
So what happens in a cuddle party? Like, give us a breakdown.
Absolutely. So what I tell people, first of all, is if you're feeling brave enough, come dressed in PJs. If not, change when you get there. We do what we call the welcome circle. And once the welcome circle starts, the doors close. People can leave anytime they want, but no new people can come in once the welcome circle starts. Because from that, we create a safe container. We go over the rules of cuddling. We do some icebreaker exercises. We talk about confidentiality because this is kind of an out-of-the-box workshop for a lot of people. And some folks don't want their families, their friends, their coworkers to know that they cuddle strangers because there's this mindset among some people that, ooh, icky strangers, who wants to cuddle with strangers? So what I ask people to do is look around the room. And I said, do any of these people here look weird and icky? And they all say, no, of course not. And I say, these are the kind of people you're going to see in the supermarket checkout line or in your library or in your post office or on the street. These are all healthy, normal people who need and want touch. Now, some of the people that come to it are in relationships with partners who know they're there, who encourage them to go because perhaps their partner is not as touchy-feely as they are. And we encourage people who are in relationships that go to the cuddle party to let their partner know, hey, I'm going to this. Come if you want. And if not, I just want you to know that I'm going to be there. So once the workshop starts, the container, you know, like the circle is closed kind of thing. And people can come to the next one if they're going to be late. So we do the welcome circle, which takes about 40 minutes, depending on how many people are there. And then there's 2 to 2.5 hours of freestyle cuddling, which is spooning, snuggling, massaging, all by verbal consent. Now, that's a really important aspect. Think about how many times in our lives, particularly, I mean, men go through this too, but women more so, how many times women have been touched without permission. And, you know, when people say yes to touch, then we know it's welcome. And we encourage people to say yes if they're a yes, no if they're a no. If they're a maybe, then say no, and we encourage them to change their minds. So at cuddle party, nobody touches nobody without permission. Even if you come there with your partner, even if you're there with your best friend or a family member, and this is all for adults, by the way, nobody under 18. And you have to get a verbal yes. So imagine if you like touch, being massaged and not having to give back. If you like being hugged and not, I mean, there's no obligation to give back. And so many people that come to cuddle parties have a hard time receiving. So how would that be for you? I mean, would you find it easier to give than receive?
I've actually been to a cuddle party.
Oh, you have?
With
okay.
Reed.
Oh, okay. That's how you know.
So that's how I know. Yeah. And I loved it. And I really, really appreciated the what you're saying about the yes and the no. And the maybe, because I feel like we don't always know where our boundary is until sometimes I don't know where my boundary is until I went over, I crossed it.
Yeah.
You know,
Oh,
all of a sudden now I'm uncomfortable with what's happening here. And, you know, and so I really found it a safe environment. And because of all those roles you talked about, you know, I was able to sort of back up and go, okay, wait a second, you know, and I also found it's not a sexual thing. Nobody's clothes are coming off. There's no sex happening.
Yep.
You know, it's strictly like you said, puppy pile, you know? So I think I had somebody rubbed my hair, which I thought was amazing. And, mm-hmm. you know, somebody rubbed my feet. So I really was like, I thought it was an incredible, an incredible experience, because it just hit me so deeply on that, like you're a little kid and you're like rolling around on the floor with your cousins and your, or your mom is holding you, you know, it's like really this like basic human need stuff.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely it is. And what I'm always amazed by is how people come in as strangers and they leave as family of choice. That there are people, and there are people that are return cuddlers. I have people that have come to multiple cuddle parties. Now, I'm, as I mentioned, in the Philadelphia area, and I sometimes do them here, New Jersey, Delaware. I do them in Virginia, in the D.C. area. I've got one coming up, several coming up, and in, you know, in the area. And if people want to find out, they can connect with me via Facebook, and I can let them know where. But one in Virginia, one in New Jersey, one in the Philadelphia area, coming up within the next 2 months, March and April. And I have people that have come 10, 15 times. The man that hosts me in Virginia came to a cuddle party up here in my area, loved it so much that he said, I want to host you down in Virginia. And, you know, Mitch has been to a gazillion cuddle parties, and he comes equipped. He has these big blankets that he always puts out. And it's like a nest. Like being back in the womb. And as you mentioned, not sexual at all. And the first rule is that nobody gets naked. And I also, you know, I add no touch with the intent to arouse, because it may happen. You know, we have skin. It feels good. You know, being touched feels good. So even if people do have a feeling of being turned on, we say you can't do anything about it here. What consenting adults do on their own time, up to them, but nothing sexual happens at a cuddle party.
All right, and
that's a safe environment.
Yeah, that keeps the container safe. So, could you have any stories about healing or breakthroughs? You share some?
Sure, absolutely. And you mentioned, I think I lost count at like 250 of them. I'm sure it's been close to 300, that I've been doing it for 12 years, maybe, something like that. 11, 12 years. 2006, I got certified, but I started training and facilitating as a trainee in 2005. So at one of my cuddle parties, I say that I never know what people are going to walk in with, you know, whose trauma, whose experience. I had one cuddle party in D.C. where a woman stood up and said, I'm an incest survivor. I'm not sure I'm going to stay. I'm a little nervous here. And she said, but what I do Texas swing dance as a way of getting touch. If there's a man here who's willing to stand and hold me and rock back and forth, I'll see if I can stay. So one brave soul raised his hand, and the two of them just kind of swayed back and forth. And within 10 minutes, she was in the puppy pile with everybody. That was huge. I have a lot of trauma survivors that come to Cuddle Party. And what I tell them is that this is not therapy, but it has therapeutic value. I am a social worker, so I'm equipped to handle whatever might come up for people. And I tell them, you may have an emotional breakthrough. So after the Cuddle Party, I encourage you to stay in touch with me. And, you know, if something comes up and you need to talk, you know where to find me. Because in a workshop like this, people get opened up. It's like emotional surgery for some people. And we want to make sure they're closed up. And I don't want to scare anybody, but people feel. You know, they cry, they laugh. I've had cuddle parties where people have met partners. I had one cuddle party where a man had been coming to them regularly, stopped coming for a year, and then he got in touch with me and he said, guess what? I met somebody, we're going to get married, and if it wasn't for you and cuddle party, I wouldn't have been ready for this relationship. So people learn relationship skills. Even though touch gets the lion's share of attention, it's about communication and boundary setting. It's about saying what you want, not just, it's a lab setting. So it's saying what you want in every aspect of your life. And I have a love-hate relationship with the cuddle party rules. I don't like anybody saying no to me. Do you? Do you want anybody to say no to you?
Well, no, but I also want to say no when I want to say no.
Right. So I have to practice cuddle party rules in every part of my life. And yeah. You know, I've facilitated and I've gone to so many personal growth trainings, and far and away, this is the most useful I've ever experienced.
Well, it seems like it teaches like intimacy, like really actual, like ground level, day to day, you know, relationship, friendship, like, you know, just intimacy on sort of every aspect. And I think people in our culture have no idea what intimacy is, how to do it. We all feel like it's lacking, like it, we know it's not there, but what is it?
Right. Yeah. And even if people come to, you know, cuddle parties again, they learn something new about themselves, about intimacy, about how they connect heart to heart, not just skin to skin with people. Mm-hmm. And I've seen dramatic change in myself too. When I started doing this, and I call myself on it, like, wait a minute, you're not practicing cuddle party rules here in this part of your life, woman, get with the program. So it is helpful. But if people want to learn more about it, it's just cuddleparty.com, and they can see what's available all over the world. There's, you know, somewhere there's a cuddle party going on, and I've had people commute, you know, long distance to come to them because they're so nourishing for people.
Yeah. I've seen it too. People work through really, really powerful and beautiful. It's because it's such a basic human desire we have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And I know you do a hug, kind of hug healing too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Most people have heard of the free hugs campaign, I guess, if you want to call it. It started, I don't know how many years ago, with this man in, I'm thinking New Zealand or Australia, called himself Juan Man. And that may have been short for one man, but I don't know if that's the legend that I've heard. And he started doing this because he had moved to a new town and didn't know anybody. And he was lonely, and he had just had some kind of dramatic loss in his life. And he stood in his town square holding up a sign that said free hugs. 5 minutes went by, 10 minutes went by, 20 minutes went by. Nobody hugged him. Then this one older, tiny little older woman came up to him and held her arms up, and he bent down and hugged her. And once she got the ball rolling, other people started hugging him. So it happens all over the world. In 2014, February, Valentine's Day weekend, 2014, I brought a group of friends to 30th Street Station, which is a big train station in Philly, to have a free hugs flash mob. And between the dozen of us that were there, we estimated a few hundred people. And one of them was an Iraqi war vet who saw us. And he said he was the only one that survived out of his group of friends. And he had survivor's guilt, and he had some suicidal thoughts. And he said, I was ready to end my life until I met you people. Can I join you? Can I hug people too? So we gave him a sign, and he walked around hugging people.
Oh,
and I
God.
Said, we've got something here. Friends started calling us hug mobsters, you know, flash mob, hug mob, you know. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, mobsters, gangs, you know, war, violence, or not war, but violence, drugs, guns. I don't think so. I'm a pacifist. And I said, but what about hug mobsters armed with love? So that's what we started calling ourselves. So since then, in June of 2014, I had a heart attack. And that was totally unexpected. So as cardiac rehab, I did a lot of walking through the little town near where I live called Doylestown, Pennsylvania. And I said, what if I did free hug strolls in town? So I walk around with this free hug, you know, the hug mobster sign. And occasionally I'll have friends join me. So I've done them on different holidays, 4th of July in Philly. I did them at the Democratic National Convention in Philly. I did them on Election Day at my polling place. I did them in D.C. twice since then, the Phoenix Airport. I carry the signs in my car because, you know, you never know when you're going to want to hug people. I had friends visiting from Canada, and this past Valentine's Day weekend, they joined us. One of them was dressed up as a pink unicorn, and he hugged people.
I want to hug a Canadian.
I have many Canadian friends. You can, you know, I'm sure they'd be glad to hug you. Oh, speaking of, you asked me about something I wanted to share. My one Canadian friend, Airely McEachran, who came down with her partner, Patrick Keating, who's the pink unicorn, have a company called Hugs for Life. And they're these beautiful scarves that have little hands on the end of them. And they're made of, fleece. And you wrap them around your neck like a hug. So a mutual friend of ours, Pamela Jane Duran, sent me one, which is how I got in touch with Airely. I said, oh, I love this. I want to start selling them. So that's one of my babies too, is Hugs for Life. It's hugsforlife.com. And they're these beautiful scarves that you send to somebody, and it's like giving them a hug. So that's something that I do too. I wear the hug scarf when I'm doing the free hugs events, so I can put them around people and hug them too.
Well, it's so interesting that I didn't know you did that. And in my intro, I was talking about hugging, right? And how, like, especially if you have a long hug, like the hug has to sort of last a certain amount of time. It has to release oxytocin, which is that, you know, the neurotransmitter we have that makes us feel love. And that same article that I read also said that's like This gets released when mothers are nursing, yep, after childbirth, after lovemaking. So, mm-hmm, you know, when you have an orgasm, that, yep, you know, a chemical gets released in your brain, which is why you feel, and it stays in your system longer if you're holding your partner after, yep, you, mm-hmm, know, and that's like it's considered the bonding brain, yep, chemical. And, mm-hmm, you know, when we were talking in our prep for the show, like you said something I thought was really interesting, that, you know, when you're hugging somebody, you don't know that they voted different from you, or you don't know that they, you know, that they're on sort of a polar, maybe on the other side of the spectrum from you in, mm-hmm, some way, right? It's, yep, just like, yep, a kind of like maybe we should have like Congress like hug each other, you know,
what would happen? I would love to. I actually have a friend in DC who would probably want to go to the, I mean, I would, I, you know, I had a, somebody asked me if I would hug the, you know, the president, and I said, sure. I mean, he probably needs it more than anybody.
Yeah.
You know, I've hugged people who I know have a different, you know, who voted differently than I do, than I did. And yet it doesn't matter. We all need love. I mean, the weekend after the election, I was in DC and I hugged a police officer, who I was surprised said yes, but he said, absolutely, we need this so much now. We're, yeah, such a divided country, yeah, that we, you know, we really need to hug each other. And I hugged people from all over the world, because DC is that kind of town where people come from all over the world. So yeah, hugging does bring people together across religious, spiritual, socioeconomic, political divides. And I really believe that. I would love to do, I'd love to have a cuddle party at, I remember when George W. Bush was in office, I had a dream that he asked me to do a cuddle party at the Pentagon, or I asked him, and he says, I'll hook you up. He never did.
Oh, that's so fun.
I never did. But I would love to do, you know, hug people at, you know, in Congress. I think they really need to hug each other across the aisle.
Oh my God. Yeah. We should just like hug everybody until we hit world peace, right?
Yep, absolutely. Well, I do that. Back in, real quickly, I know we're getting close to the end here, but on October 15th, I gathered together two friends of mine in San Francisco, and I created this event called Hugs Across America. And we had 20 cities where people were hugging each other. And our Facebook page is now called Hugging America, and you know, bringing the world together through hugs. So I encourage people, no matter where you are, whether you do it by yourself, whether you do it in collaboration with other people, hug somebody every day. You know, there's Virginia Satir, who is a psychologist, had said that we need 4 hugs a day just to survive, 8 hugs a day for maintenance, and 12 is optimal. I don't get 4 hugs a day sometimes, you know, and, you know, I live alone and I have wonderful friends, but if I'm working from home, you know, as a journalist, I don't hug people. So I go into town to, you know, my favorite coffee shop, and I always run into people there I know. So I've become kind of a fixture in my town that people say, oh, even without my sign, oh, you're the hug lady. You know, I want my hug. Yeah.
That's
so
awesome.
Create that in your own lives.
I love that. If you were here, I would give you a big giant hug. It would be so fun.
Oh, I will. Okay, I'm just like,
virtual hug.
Absolutely.
So how can people find out more about you?
Okay, a couple ways. One is my website. It's www.opti-mystical.com. Where that name came from was that I had a dream where God, spirit, whoever said, you're not just an optimist, you're an optimistic who sees the world through the eyes of possibility. So uh-huh. optimistical.com. They can find the cuddle parties on cuddleparty.com. I'm on Facebook as Edie Weinstein, Weinstein, and on my page I post all kinds of articles that I write for Huffington Post, BeliefNet, Psych Central. My articles are all about spirituality, psychological stuff, addictions, recovery, sexuality, relationships, the whole gamut. So I welcome connection with people. I am a connector.
Awesome. So I hope people find a way to connect with you, Edie, and the beautiful work you're doing around cuddling and hugging. And, you know, I love this idea of hugging everybody until we all come to world peace. God bless you, honey.
Sounds good.
I so appreciate the work that you're doing.
Thank you.
Lovely.
My pleasure. And I look forward to meeting you in Massachusetts.
Yes,
I'll
I am.
There eventually. Yeah,
good.
There
I hope
eventually.
You do. Come up here just to give me a hug. It'd be awesome.
Sounds good, sweetie pie. Take care.
Thanks, honey.
Thank you.
And thank you all for joining us today on The Miracle of Healing here on Empower Radio, where we're healing the planet one person at a time. So go out and hug somebody. And thanks. Bye.